In today's episode, Mike forgets about the ice wall, I wear a tinfoil hat, and Samantha thinks that guy is ripped. This is Super Metroid.
I've played that game 25 times. I've never 100% did it, so that's what I'm doing this time.
You know a game I've never 100%ed?
I'm guessing Super Metroid because of the text thread from earlier.
That would be correct, Samantha.
Or Super Metroid.
Like whatever. An hour ago.
Yeah.
Well, welcome everyone to Funsphere Game Club. Hi, I'm Josh.
I'm Mike, the person who has 100%ed.
See, Mike wants to use his real name. Because he wants some clout. Yep.
Because I'm better than Josh.
I'm Leslie.
So you should have went with Justin Bailey.
Who's that?
Let's see if Mike gets that. Mike, do you know who Justin Bailey is?
Yes.
Is that some nerd?
The password for the NES
version. That's correct. Yes. So, folks, today we are talking about my favorite Super Nintendo game of all time. Super Metroid.
And you haven't even 100%ed it?
No, the game is still extremely difficult, but we'll get into that. How about I give us a rundown?
God, there's a scanner. You just go through the entire game scanning every wall and you can find every secret.
How about every time you pick something up in real life, you stop for 10 seconds and listen to a fanfare?
It's to make you feel good about the progress you've made.
How about
they're called little victories, and without them, we'd all be dead.
Well, how about we make a little progress and give the rundown of the game?
All right.
Sound good?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. So, Super Metroid is an action-adventure game developed and published by Nintendo for the SNES in 1994. It's the third installment of the Metroid series. Follows Metroid 2, Return of Samus, and, of course, the first Metroid. Players control bounty hunter Samus Aran, who travels to the planet Zeebs to retrieve the infant Metroid creature stolen by the space pirate leader Ridley. All right. So, let's talk a little bit about the development of the game. It was developed by Nintendo's R&D1 team with a staff of 15 people, managed by the legendary Gunpei Yokoi. It was written and directed by Yoshio Sakamoto, and produced by Makoto Kano. Intelligent Systems co-developed the game. Mike, do you know Intelligent Systems?
Really?
Yeah, you know Intelligent Systems?
A robot made this game?
What? Because Intelligent Systems is Advance Wars and Fire Emblem, right?
That's correct. I actually was not aware of their involvement. They actually helped create the first Metroid as well.
So then why couldn't we date everyone in this game?
It's because
Samus is a loner, Samantha.
Yeah, but
Samantha is, and I was gonna say she
don't need nobody.
She is a bounty hunter, and she's about business. She is all about the mission. All right, so
it's all about turning into a ball and rolling around.
The game was developed over 2.5 years, and a half of that year was just getting Nintendo to greenlight the project. Yeah, like I said, we'll get into that a little bit later. So the director, Sakamoto, said, "We wanted to wait until a true action game was needed, and also set the stage for the reappearance of Samus Aran." It took half a year for Nintendo to approve the project and two further years to develop again. All right, and the primary goal was to make a good action game. And boy, oh boy, did they get that right. All right, like I said, it's also one of the first open world games with a map feature. Let's see here. All right, and we'll get into some of the other stuff about like the music and stuff a little bit later. Let's go around the room and tell us what we thought about the game.
Well, no surprises here.
Samantha, why don't you let us know what you thought?
Oh, it was pretty fun. I thought it looked the best of the older games that we've played. But it was hard, and I am not good at jumping and staying on things, so it was very difficult for me, more so than the combat, just sort of, you know, progressing.
Okay.
I'll admit that is one of the complaints that I have about the game, is the fact that they wanted to include the run button, and their default option is so wacky.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because I was so used to the whole, like, Mega Man X control scheme. But even that doesn't work with the way that you play this game. So every time I play it, I have to go through all these... Like, I'll play it for a little bit, think, no, this doesn't work. Save it. Start the game over. Retweak it and see, maybe this is the optimum way to do it. And... just doesn't work. Yep. They did fix that with Metroid 4, where you run automatically.
Yeah, go fast. Run out the gate.
You're talking, which one are you calling Metroid 4?
Fusion.
Okay, gotcha. That's a hell of a game, too. Right, so like I said at the top here, this is my favorite Super Nintendo game of all time. I adore this game, even though I have not spent the time and effort to beat this game 100%.
Shameful.
I still get in the 90s. It's good enough. I missed like one or two missile tanks.
That's more than two.
Whatever. All right. So, like I said, I agree with you guys, though, that the controls in this game are a little bit difficult, and I'm glad that Mike was actually the first one to mention Mega Man X, because for some reason, Mega Man X in this game kind of, like, occupy the same mind space. Like, I think they should control the same way, and they don't.
It's because Mega Man and Samus have the same silhouette.
I could see that, or a similar silhouette. Yeah. But the biggest thing for me...
Well, it's also such a... I think that's an unfair comparison to make because I used to play Mega Man X actually pressing the dash button, not double tapping the D-pad to start your dash. So it would look like I was just digging my thumb into the controller every time I would do anything because I was always using the tip of my thumb to keep the charge shot held.
Yeah.
So it was always, while you're doing that, you hit the joint on the A button and then roll in to hit the jump.
Samantha's face with the... Mike is showing us his hands.
Oddly descriptive.
I mean, I have...
But it really was. It was an art that...
Oh, yeah.
Like, it took forever to get used to.
And think about it. We were playing these games when we were younger, so our hands were smaller, too.
Not mine.
So...
I realize in this one that you only have to start with the dash button.
Yep.
And once you do that, I never knew that. I thought that you had to keep it held, just like running in Mario or any of those other games.
I was going to say the biggest one for me that I always compare it to X, and it's an unfavorable comparison, is wall jumping. I have so many times played this game to the point where I have to start wall jumping, and I'm like, I think I want to turn this off and walk away.
No, you never have to.
It's hard.
Even that, when you fall down that pit, that's an optional thing.
Yeah, I know, but it's like...
Like, the way I got past it the first time is I fell down, I couldn't figure out how to wall jump, and I reset the game and avoided that pit.
But then you don't get to see the little alien creatures that do the little jump things.
Well, I was like...
And you only
9 or 10.
I was going to say, and you only technically have to successfully jump it once. You have to do it once to get to the mini platform, and then you can keep going up to get to the top, and then there's a secret item up there, too. Ugh.
I guess that leads into another thing that we could talk about that makes this game great.
Okay.
Is the open worldness.
Absolutely. Pretty revolutionary.
A thing that this game probably... brought on, right? Well, did Metroid or Kid Icarus come out first?
Metroid came out first, and Kid Icarus came out, I think, like the year after. So,
and I mean, I'm pretty sure that was the same team too, yeah, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. They were both developed by R&D1.
I can't think of another. Well, what was that? What was that game that they put out on the Switch on the virtual console not too long ago? That really crazy one. It was made by a different company, but it was also, it seemed like very Kid Icarus inspired, but I think it might be older. I'm not sure.
You're talking about a Metroid game?
No, it's a totally different game that I'd never heard of.
I'm not.
Hang on. Let me look.
I'm looking through, like, R&D1, their last game was Metroid Zero
Mission.
It
wasn't by R&D1. It was, like, a different company altogether.
Oh.
They just put out a game that was also open world. I'm trying to think of any open world games that go that far back that were action games, not RPGs like Final Fantasy.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. I mean, heck, these guys have been... We mentioned Gunpei Yokoi. He's been with, or he had been with Nintendo since 1965.
Really?
Yeah. And he is literally, you know, we always think about Shigeru Miyamoto as like the face of Nintendo, right? Like he's the Walt Disney of Nintendo. And the more you look into it, Yokoi was certainly like, you could even argue that the only reason they got into video games and anything else besides what they originally did, which was made playing cards, was because of him. Like, their first toy was a claw thing, and he made it. And he made it in his spare time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and of course...
The grabber.
The grabber, right.
Rygar.
Oh, Rygar, okay. Oh, my God.
That's got to be after Metroid, though, right? The art...
Rygar.
Way more...
Oh, look. Hang on.
I'm about to type, guys.
Yeah, we'll all hear it.
I'm trying.
Rygar was 1986, so it would have been same year.
That dude's ripped.
I remember playing that game and not liking it. I don't think we'll do an episode.
We might. JJ loves that game.
Oh, yeah?
Huh. That's how I found out about it.
So, what are some of your guys' like favorite things about Super Metroid, since it seems like we're all pretty much in agreement that it's a pretty good game?
I liked how it looked it looked more animated than pixely, if that makes sense. Like, it looked like it had drawn backgrounds. You look at that picture.
I am.
What is this?
that's the original Rygar. It was on Nintendo.
Oh my god.
And I liked...
Was it an arcade cabinet?
Uh-huh, no. Yeah.
Wow. Well,
I like the music.
All right. So I agree with you, Samantha. I think this is, like I said, even as early in the Super Nintendo's lifespan as this is one of the best looking game with the best looking environments. And
I think that, so Josh, I know you're going to disagree with me because you think that Ninja Gaiden.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning.
Uh-huh.
I know that you always quote that as being like the first big storytelling video game, but I mean, from the time that you switched the on button on the Super Nintendo, like this, I've never played a game that is more cinematic. Well, I mean, I have since, but at the time, like, that was the most cinematic experience I had ever witnessed.
And I think that kind
and heavy for a Nintendo-made game.
Like, oh, yeah.
You're in space.
Like, dead bodies on the title card?
That's correct.
When does that happen?
I think that's interesting that you say it. I agree with you that it does have a really strong story-driven section. But the thing I like most about this game is the story is told in that first opening section, and then it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
The world tells the story. The challenges you're facing tell the story. And the amazing music sets the atmosphere and sets the tone. And I think So a gentleman by the name of Kenji Yamamoto and Mineko Hamano were the sound designers for the game. And Mr. Yamamoto actually worked as not only the composer, but he worked as the sound designer and sound effects creator for all of the music. He even wrote a special program about how to send the sound data to the audio chips for the SNES. So that's how you get that interesting chorus that you could get and all the different little sound clips. And I think everyone seems to agree that the Metroid soundtracks are great.
Oh, yeah. Not only the music, but every sound effect, too. Like, everything sets such a tone and a mood.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, like, when I was writing my notes on this, I was like, I don't think I've felt like a game with this strong of an atmosphere until you get into the point of, like, you're dealing with, like, the Bioshocks and the Dead Spaces, where it's like, but even then you can totally see that they were influenced by Metroid, especially Dead Space. It's just, I would almost argue, maybe a modern Metroid. The first one, at least. Not the second or third one. What?
If we're ignoring Prime.
We're going to get into... We'll talk about Prime. Prime is good.
Oh, no. Prime better be its own episode.
Okay, so...
Or three.
We'll say. I just wanted... The only thing I was going to say about the Prime series is it's great. You know, I love it. I know that you are a huge fan of the Prime series. The only thing that makes me sad about the Prime series is I don't think we'll ever get a true successor to Fusion, because Fusion is the last game in the series so far, that we'll never get another 2D Metroid, and I'm kind of sad about that, but at the same time I'm like, the Prime games do a really, really good job.
I think of the Prime games as like an alternate timeline kind of thing. I know they tried to pull a Zelda and twist it back in, but no. I think of it as like a parallel universe kind of thing.
All right, hotshot pop quiz. Do you know the chronology of the Metroid series games?
For the original four?
For all of them.
No, I don't know that I want
to
know.
All right, so I'll just give it to you.
You can say it.
I've got it here. That's the only reason I know it. Metroid / Zero Mission. Metroid Prime, Prime Hunt, Prime Hunters. So they what?
Oh,
yeah.
Why is that even included? I loved Hunters.
Okay,
but that does not deserve to be in the canon.
So
I swear to God, if you say Other M in this list,
oh, I can do better.
I'm
I can do
turning it off.
I can do better than Other M, my friend. So after Hunters, we have Prime 2
or Federation Force.
So it was Prime 2, Prime 3, then Federation Force.
No!
Then Return of Samus, then Super Metroid, then Other M, then Fusion. Oh. So.
Bye.
Bye. No, we're not saying goodbye yet.
Bye!
No, stop it. Oh, God, no, not again.
This episode was abruptly ruined because Josh whoever's idea that this should be all tied together.
Speaking of meowing, did you guys watch Soul?
I did.
I have not yet, but I'm looking forward to it, obviously.
There's a lot of meowing in it, and I hope they release a short of a whole supercut of the pair of them talking and you just hear the... cat meowing.
So when I was doing our year-end episode, there was two things I was thinking about editing together. Was one of my oh so many wells, like just having like a string of those for a couple of seconds, and like your guys meowing for a moment. But then I was like, I don't think anybody wants to hear either of those things, so I didn't.
People want to hear us meow. They like cats.
I don't think so.
People like cats.
Maybe one day we'll have a fan dedicated enough to go through that trouble for
you
us.
You know what? If you want to, knock yourselves out, folks.
And Josh will pay you.
And Josh will not pay
$50.
You.
$50 American dollars.
Per meow.
For your trouble.
I will pay you 50 Funsphere Fun Bucks, which are the made-up dollars that I will draw a picture of. We'll put Samantha's face in the middle of it. says it's easy money. That'll be the phrase on the Funsphere Fun Bucks.
Don't put my Samantha. Face on that.
Well, like, it'll be like the different denominations. Like, you'll be the 20, Mike will be the 10, and I'll be the 1.
Mine will be the million.
Oh, will it now?
Actually, I should say mine will be 100 to represent my 100% in this game.
Oh, I see.
I got 100% in another game that we're not talking about right now.
So, speaking of 100%, surprising probably nobody, this game has amazingly high critical reviews, and the entire series for the most part does, with the exception of Other M and Federation Force.
Everyone loves Other M.
Oh, no they don't.
I remember when that came out.
I remember when it came out.
It wouldn't have been a terrible game if it wasn't a Metroid game. Like, I didn't have a grief with the gameplay as much. It was all story-based.
Really? I have the opposite.
Yes, because they...
I was going to say, right, the story is terrible. I agree with that. I actually...
Well, no, it was the way they tell the story, too. Yeah. Like, they completely go against everything that makes Metroid great. Like, the first Metroid... No story whatsoever outside of what you get in the manual.
Yep.
Second Metroid, they give you a little bit, but that's still not in the game. Like, they do more. That's where they start playing with the visual storytelling, with, like, learning that you've got this many Metroids you have to kill, and then I don't want to spoil anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the end of the game, you really get a story told to you. And yeah. If you didn't go through it, that story is told to you in the beginning of this game.
Yep.
So, I didn't spoil anything. But they take that... Well, I'll go even further and say that Metroid 4, they give her the most narrative she's ever had.
Oh, yeah.
But they still keep it very tasteful.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this one went balls to the wall... We're going to create all these ridiculous, like, she's still, I don't know.
I think what
she shows very little emotion. Like, she's a professional, but this is like,
do you know what I,
not that at all.
I've got two takes on the Other M, and then I think we'll keep.
Did you go through it?
I also have a story I'll tell you about Other M. I have, I remember being very, very excited for it. I went and got it. I think the GameStop employee broke the release date for me. I got it the day before it was supposed to come out.
That's illegal.
That is illegal. I returned it the next day. Because I hated the gameplay mechanics of that game so bad. And, like, the flat-out refusal to use any of the well-established controls from Fusion at that point where, like, I'm like, it's cool that you want to design it to be played with just the Wii remote, but it sucks. And to the story, Mike, I think this was Nintendo's way of trying to make a Metroid game that appealed to the Japanese fan base over the American fan base. So with that point said, I kind of want to bring up two things.
Did it do well in Japan though?
No, the series as a whole has never done well in Japan. And I, for the life of me, cannot understand why.
It was Team Ninja that did it. Wasn't it?
Yes, it was Team Ninja that did it. They were
ninjas.
It's a crazy thing, like, so I guess we'll get into this point. I was just going to say, this game has high critical acclaim, sells well in the United States. Like, Super Metroid itself has sold nearly 2 million copies on all the way it's been released. But for some reason, it does not get a lot of traction in Japan. And I think that was what Other M was trying to fix, and it failed. And I think that's why I had a point here of wanting to mention, I don't know why Nintendo as a whole is so disinterested in this franchise. They don't
have money.
I take that as the simple answer is that yes, it does not sell well. But then I think of all the other series and that they have developed so many games for, like mentioned Fire Emblem, right? We never got a Fire Emblem over here until what, Game Boy? So we're talking GameCube. So we're talking like 2001, 2002, something like that.
Yeah, but once they did start coming over here, I think they performed better than Metroid did.
It's because you can make the characters date. And you can
Wave
date
of the
characters.
Future. Every game has to
yes.
involve a life sim aspect.
Yes,
no,
add a dating
doesn't.
Dating. You don't have to do it, but I want the option.
Okay.
To romance any Final Fantasy 14. Come on.
So I think Mike might remember.
I'm just trying to figure out who Samus would even
that
be
dinosaur
able to
pirate.
Romance.
How is he even a pirate? Games?
Are you talking about Ridley?
I just
she
that
despises...
was the only person I could. That's the only other character I could think of.
He killed her parents.
Well, that's just the enemies to lovers, isn't it?
No, never, never. No.
Monster romance. It's really hot right now. People are into it.
The one I've always seen on the internet is Doom Guy, that they would would be cross generational. So I don't know why Nintendo, my gut instinct to say they hate the franchise. Mike mentioned it earlier that they back it. What was it? The 25th anniversaries.
Yeah. When they started doing recognized anniversaries, it might've started before this, but the first one I remember was, Mario.
Yeah.
On the Wii.
Right.
Gold box.
And they did, like, this big bundled collection. And then they did one for Kirby. And everybody was pumped. Well, people that I knew mm-hmm. were pumped. Like, hey,
ooh.
Metroid shares that same anniversary.
Yep.
What are we going to get? And it was a big goose egg.
And the other major franchise that shares the same anniversary year is The Legend of Zelda. And so you could.
Well, that one.
They didn't really do
it. That one kind of counts. They just did the. They said the anniversary because that was the year Skyward Sword came out, wasn't it? Or no, that was a couple of years later.
Yeah, but didn't they do the re-release of. Twilight Princess onto the Wii U? And.
I don't think that was the same
year. Was
that
not the same year? Maybe I'm misremembering
no.
that.
I think. If you
maybe Zelda got passed up too.
I think it did because there's been so many compilations over the years of some of its games.
Well, and they were actively selling those games, whereas they hadn't for the well, I guess they were for the couple of Mario games, but they essentially just repackaged Super Mario All-Stars,
yep.
which they weren't selling.
True. So. With all this, the reason I'm bringing this up again is because, like I said, this is the 30th anniversary? 35th. So Mario just had his 35th anniversary last year. And Nintendo released the anniversary collection of games on the Switch. And, you know, people were starting to get real hyped. Like, oh, maybe they're going to put out the Prime Trilogy again. You know, they actually mentioned they were going to do that in 2015 for the Wii U.
They didn't outwardly mention it. I thought they just renewed the patent.
Apparently
the copyright.
Apparently in a Nintendo Direct, they mentioned they were going to do this, according to some sources I found.
I don't remember
yeah.
that.
But also,
I feel like I would remember that.
What?
I don't know what he was saying there either, but...
I said, I feel like I would remember that, and I don't remember
that. Yeah,
that
sounds right. like internet wishery.
So, Mike, let me ask you if you remember this. When did Prime 3 come out?
Your butt.
Prime 3 was 2010?
Oh, you wish it was 2010.
No, it was 2008. 7.
That's right, 2007. So we've been begging for Prime 4 for...
The trilogy came out in 2010, didn't it?
Uh-huh.
Kingdom Hearts 2 came out in, like, 2015, 2014. Kingdom Hearts...
I thought that was 3.
No, Kingdom Hearts 3 came out in 2019. No, sorry, Kingdom Hearts...
Two
no, not 15.
I
meant 4 or 5. I was a sophomore in high school. I don't know why I said 15. Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 2 came out in 2004 or 5, and then the third one came out beginning of 2019? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's the biggest gap in there. I'm just saying that...
Don't lose hope.
I feel like Kingdom Hearts, they were, like... Square Enix was actively working on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, they kept putting out.
But this was like, we'll do it
later. You know why? I think Metroid would be way more popular in Japan if you saw Samus more often. If there were, like, more characters. Like, Samus without her helmet and stuff. Because Zelda, they have, like, all these pretty characters and stuff. Kirby and Mario are cute, and they're easy to market. And Fire Emblem, same thing. It's like... the gameplay is good and it's like a big RPG with some weird tactical shit but bunch of pretty characters.
Yeah, but it goes against the entire thing that makes the game magical. That's why you're alone on a desolate planet.
That's why they don't like it.
Well, they need to get over it.
Or, like, some sort of romance thing. Not two romance character, but some in the story. Because, like, even Shadow of the Colossus did well in Japan, and that's just really, like, one dude the whole time, but then you have Mono.
Evil dude the whole time. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, Dormin.
I mean, I don't know. I guess the idea of me... of seeing them give Samus a love interest is like if they decided to give Link an actual speaking voice.
I am opposed against both of those things.
I don't have an idea in mind specifically, but I know that it would be one in a million that I would agree with.
It would definitely be weird. I just think that's what would have made it. Like, if they did that from the start, her being showing her more often.
As far as, like, themes and stuff that connect more.
Well, I was going to say there's a lot to kind of work with that you guys just said. Why they didn't do it from the start is actually it was a surprise. We didn't know who was in the suit until you beat the game. The original.
Yeah, that was supposed to be the big mind-blowing reveal is, hey, this badass you've been playing as is a girl.
It's a badass girl.
Also, it was a girl the whole time. Maybe think about that next time you go to school.
I was also going to say the game was also influenced a lot by the original Alien film. So Ridley, of course, gets its name from Ripley and Ridley Scott. So that was the other part of it they based it off of, like, you know, Ripley's a badass and she doesn't have a love interest or anything like that.
Then they should have given Samus a cat. But you also see Ripley's face a lot.
You have a baby Metroid.
Not so cat.
That's marketable. Although I will say I definitely agree with Samantha. From, like, if you work for the Nintendo marketing department, if you got handed Fire Emblem as a job packet versus Metroid, I think you're gonna have an easier time with Fire Emblem marketing it to especially a Japanese audience. Whereas, you know, I think it's just weird that Nintendo of America doesn't push harder for anything to happen, and, like, Nintendo itself hasn't.
I don't know they have that much control.
They don't. They never really have. But I was like, also, Nintendo hasn't made anything in-house for Metroid since 2002.
It is surprising to me that they aren't capitalizing on its Western popularity.
Well, here's my...
Oh, no. Federation Force.
Didn't they have...
That was in-house.
I thought they outsourced that.
Unfortunately.
Who made that, then? What team?
Nintendo.
Do you know which R&D team?
Internal.
No.
Okay.
It wasn't...
I mean, I might be wrong, but I don't remember seeing any kind of... I feel like it was the same team that did Hunters.
I'm going to look that up, because I swear that sounds... No, it was developed by Next Level Games. And published.
No shit.
Yep. Okay.
Well, I liked them when they did Luigi's Mansion, but I don't think I like them anymore.
But no, I was going to say...
Butcher my favorite franchise, baby. Make them chibi dolls.
There you go. There was another marketing reference that fell flat.
Yeah, trying to cater to the audience that'll never win and bastardizing the audience that loved them in the first place.
Chibi dolls?
Like, I mean, Nintendo is so interested in the indie market right now. Fucking give it to an indie studio. Jesus.
Well, I was going
to
say...
Like, give it to somebody who cares and will do something respectful with it, like Retro did.
Yeah.
But then they were like, holy shit, Retro's actually a good studio. Let's pump them full of our other games, like Donkey Kong, instead.
Yep. And they gave it to somebody else first, Prime 4, and then apparently it was so bad that they scrapped the whole thing and they gave it back to Retro.
I thought that was internal.
No, that was external, too. I'm pretty sure.
God.
Like I said, it goes as far as, like, even R&D 1 has been technically disbanded. They've been rolled into other parts of the company. And I was going to say, this is just my maybe tinfoil hat theory, is that because Shigeru Miyamoto has never had anything to do with this series, that's maybe why it's not pressed by them. Like, all his other series are, you know, have such accolades and stuff like that from Nintendo. I was also going to say, and then there's the idea because Gunpei Yokoi left the company.
That was going to be my tinfoil hat theory, is they're trying to wipe out all evidence that man was in the company.
Which, like I said, I get it from like a marketing standpoint, where like it's nice to have Miyamoto, and I'm not saying anything against him, because there's no like anything I can find that Miyamoto and Yokoi had beef or anything like that. It's nothing like that.
Well, no, the company was notoriously a dick to him after Virtual Boy failed.
Well, and even that is like, that was their decision, not his. He did not want it put out in the shape it was in. And then he left the company shortly thereafter and unfortunately had an accident. And if you want to get real tinfoily, there's a lot of people that will speculate that the...
Nintendo was the driver.
No, that Nintendo hired the Yakuza to kill him.
No,
and that's, like I said, if you want to get real tinfoily, you can. But
I
don't think that's the case. I think it was...
I hope you didn't actually hear that somewhere.
No. You know what's funny? You and I talked about that like 7-8 years ago at work one day. I remember that. It was on a Saturday. We were like, what? That sounds nuts. But I was like, yeah, some people really think that. Because he was going to work for a competitor. I mean, the man had already worked for you for 30-plus years. And
I mean, he did probably possess trade secrets.
He probably.
Doesn't seem,
you heard
doesn't
it here
seem
first,
that
folks.
Crazy. I mean, a little crazy, but not like totally impossible.
Not like flat Earth.
Not like flat Earth crazy.
But
if any of you people are listening to this podcast, do yourself a favor and walk off that earth.
They can't. There's a giant wall of ice.
Oh, that's... Yeah, Mike, you forgot about the ice wall. That's on you, bud.
I don't know enough about it to know that this is a theory in it.
Do you know why I know the earth isn't flat, other than science? Is if there was an edge of the planet, that would be a huge tourist destination.
It would
that would be.
That's
commercialized true. As crap.
Oh.
Just like the... That's... It's weird how bizarre tourists become a theory for disbanding ideas, like time tourists.
Oh, yeah.
Or time tourism is one of the bigger ideas of how time travel couldn't possibly
exist.
Oh, yeah. There's no way we wouldn't have found a way to...
Yeah, unless just one guy has it.
Well, and look at the people that you interact, well, you did interact with on a day-to-day basis out in public. Do you really think you trust them to abide by whatever time tourism rules they are going to imply?
No, I mean, there was one cool lady I used to see on BART all the time who, like, had short hair and looked really like she takes no shit. I remember thinking she looks like she's probably a scary boss, but probably gets that work done. And she had a really hot husband, and I would trust them.
That went places.
I would trust them. They just looked really like they were so like. Their look was just so good. Like they had their outfits were great. Their hair was always perfect, and they're just standing in the middle of this crowded train car. Like there's a bubble around them. I would see them every day.
They probably have a basement full of bodies.
Well, maybe they're vampires. I still trust them. They've been around.
Maybe they're space bounty hunters like Samus.
Is that what we're talking about?
That's what we're at one point, yes.
You know that anime, Big O?
Yes.
That band I made? No. I love it. It's great. But that's another one that was not very popular in Japan, but was really popular over here. So Adult Swim commissioned the second season.
Hey, maybe Adult Swim can extend their video game on.
Oh, no. Now, don't get me wrong. Nintendo will be very petty in their protection of Metroid.
Yeah, I think
as we remember from a few years ago where they commissioned a remake of Samus Returns because there was one on the internet for free that was really, really good. And they said, hey, wait a minute. You guys aren't making any money from this, right? And they're like, no, we put it out because we loved it and we made a really good remake. They're like, nah, son. We own that IP. We're going to put out our own remake, which people didn't like as much, but it was still very good. And cash
in.
And
they recruit none other than, oh my God, who is it? The people that made Lords of Shadow.
Yep. Warner Brothers?
No, it's a...
That's the publisher. That's what I was thinking of.
It's a... I think it's like a Spanish studio.
Hmm.
God, what is it called? I know the logo. It's got a bat.
Bat Studio. Nintendo, I think, just likes to hoard licenses. That's the whole reason they renewed the Metroid one, Metroid Prime. I bet you anything.
Now,
just
I get
to
from,
hoard it.
From a business standpoint, I 100% understand companies like, you know, having to protect their intellectual properties and stuff like that. Sometimes they can be a little bit dickish about it. Nintendo has certainly been dickish about it in the past.
I mean, oh, yeah. Look at what they did to Earthbound for
years.
Kept renewing that license without any idea of doing something with it.
And still are actively doing so. And, you know, things like they did with this. The turnaround time on this game was like a year, I remember, if that.
No.
Oh, yeah, it was real quick. Once that...
Like development?
When A2... Was it A2MR? Another... No, it's A...
Oh, you're talking about...
yeah.
Yeah, the Metroid 2
another
remake.
Another Metroid 2 remake, so AM2R came out. Like, yeah, that one where they came out with the official version, that was a quick turnaround time. And like I said, it's just kind of sad because I think we're going to see the 35th anniversary come and go with absolutely no fanfare. I don't think we'll see anything about Prime 4. I don't think we'll see the long anticipated Prime trilogy release on the Switch.
You know, I want to go ahead and set this bet now. I bet Kirby is going to get his recognition this next year because there was already a news blurb that HAL Lab teased multiple projects coming out this year.
I was going to say, I'm holding out hope that we'll actually get something for the Zelda anniversary, but I don't think we'll get anything for... I think the
I can't imagine what it would be outside of them porting over Wind Waker and Twilight Princess on the Switch, just like they ported over every other Wii U game.
I was going to say that, but they'll do Skyward Sword. It'll be just like the Mario 35th anniversary.
They can keep that.
But that's...
That's right. You heard it, Joey. They can keep that Skyward Sword.
That's another conversation for another day. Well, does anybody have any last thoughts on our good friend Super Metroid here?
Nah.
Okay.
Anybody that hasn't played it should play
okay.
it.
Okay. Now, you once said that was gatekeeping. from
telling people they should play it is different than saying you have to play this if you are a video game fan.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with Mike. I 100% agree with him. I'm just trying to point out that he once tried to rag on me for that when I had said you had to play. What the fuck was it? I don't even remember.
No, you said that if you are getting into video games or like something like that, then you have to play Mario. That is gatekeeping. Saying you should play Metroid if you haven't is not gatekeeping.
I think it's the same thing.
You're wrong.
I'm not.
Everybody is entitled to their own thing, but I it is my opinion that as it being something that I loved and cherished throughout all of childhood and extending to today, I think that it's very important. I mean, the word Metroidvania.
I never heard that.
That the indie market is flooded with all these games that you're obsessed with today. Like, oh my god, now I'm gonna blank on all of them. What's the
most recent
one that was huge on the Switch like a year ago?
Axiom Verge.
Stardew.
No, which is also a Metroidvania. Oh my god,
Hollow Knight. Yeah.
Jesus. Hollow Knight. Everybody, I talk to so many people at work that are obsessed with Hollow Knight and have played through it multiple times. Never played.
I haven't played Hollow Knight.
Never played Super
Metroid. Or Symphony of the Night? Like,
I mean, Symphony of the Night was a straight ripoff of Super Metroid just with Castlevania.
And they make no bones about that.
It became a popular franchise in its own right, but it was still like, that's not Castlevania. Or it wasn't in the beginning. There were five other games in the series before it became like it went into that formula.
Actually, there were I'm thinking now, you're right with five. I'm like, isn't there a sixth one in there? Or there were,
no, I was thinking one through four, and then
wasn't there two on the Genesis?
Rondo of Blood.
The Genesis one.
Yeah. There was the Genesis one.
Okay.
And you could count the game. I wouldn't count the Game Boy games, though. There are three of those if you want to count them. But still, everything after Symphony of the Night, I don't think it ever went back to the normal Castlevania formula.
No, I don't think so either.
And it's because they were like, holy shit, this is the pinnacle of action adventure gameplay, and they made more of an RPG element with it, which was cool. But still, like, they owe everything to Super Metroid.
They do,
even regular Metroid.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
I'm worried you don't know what gatekeeping is.
Welcome to the game that created an entire genre.
It's where you keep a gate.
Yeah. So, like, what is the gate to saying you should play Metroid? What is that keeping you from?
I don't know. I literally... No. I understand your concept. Like I said, I was just trying to rag Mike, not actually get into that argument.
Do a better job.
Okay, I will. I'll try on the next episode to do a better job. And I think we'll say goodbye here, folks. Bye.
Meow.
Meow. Bye.
Meow, meow.
Bye.
Meow.
Bye.
Meow. Meow. I'm gonna gatekeep end it. You can't say bye unless you meow. That's the gatekeep. Meow.